Thank you for joining us for Life and Taxes with tax attorney Andrew Foster of Harvell and Collins Attorneys at Law.
'Cause I'm the tax man.
Call in now with your tax questions at 247-7282.
And we'd like to welcome Andrew Foster from Harvell and Collins into the studio. Good morning, Andrew.
Good morning, Mike.
Another day, another week of Life and Taxes. It seems like we were just talking about this same topic last week, but
that's
here we
right.
are again, clicking
here,
away.
Here we are again.
Here we are again. What do you got for us this morning, Andrew?
Well, a couple tax headlines today. One of the interesting ones is that 13.9 million Americans are set to receive IRS tax refund interest payments.
Wow.
Yeah, so an interesting little rule here, since our tax deadline was deferred to July 15th from April 15th.
Yeah.
In the Internal Revenue Code, it says that the IRS has to pay you interest for the delay. So if you filed after April 15th, they're going to calculate your interest rate, and they're going to send you additional money if they've already sent your refund.
Yeah.
And if they haven't yet processed your refund, which we've talked about how there's been some delays.
Yeah.
I'm still waiting on several refunds.
Uh-huh.
Your check's going to be a little bigger than what it said on your return. And the reason for it's because they're going to pay this interest. And they have recognized that there are delays that were beyond the taxpayer's control.
Sure.
So as long as you file by the tax deadline, you file by July 15th, you're going to get a little bit more in your check. Now, the average number of interest payment that the taxpayer is going to receive isn't going to knock your socks off.
I bet.
About $18.
Well, it's a happy meal.
Every little bit counts.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah, the effective interest rate in the second quarter was 5% compounded daily, and for the third quarter, it's 3% because interest rates have declined.
Mm-hmm.
But, be on the lookout there, and if you get a little bit extra in your check, don't be surprised.
Well, that's good news. I checked on my status, and I had filed on March 31st, and for some time during the COVID lockdown, there was no report that they even received it. Now, I went on to the IRS website, put in the information and the return amount, and they said, we received it. Now, it's in the stage of cutting the check, but they never mentioned about that. That's nice.
Yeah.
Yeah, I didn't expect that.
A little bit of interest.
So I got that going for me.
Got that going for you. Don't spend it all in one place.
No.
another headline is that for a long time, the Taxpayer Advocate Office, who we've mentioned before on this program, who is the watchdog of the IRS and makes suggestions relative to what the IRS should do to improve. One of the things that's always been in their platform, at least for the last several years, has been that they want to allow amended tax returns to be e-filed. So as it stands right now, if you filed your return and then you recognized, oh, I just got in this W-2, or, oh, I switched a digit on this particular check. I need to make income from another source that I wasn't aware of. Anything like that, you're filing that amended return. And before, the rule was, got to do it on paper.
Mm-hmm.
You file your 1040X is what it's called, and you have to print out the document, sign the document, send in the document to the IRS. Well, for tax year 2019, even amongst the COVID crisis and all the backlogs the IRS has going on, they've been able to roll out and say, you can file your 2019 amended tax return by e-file.
Mm-hmm.
So that's an option that's available. Now, let's say you find a mistake on your 18 or 17 or anything like that go past 2019, you're still relegated to paper. You're going to have to print that return off and send it to the IRS. But as far as your 2019 return, if there was a mistake that was made there, you can e-file it, which e-file. Is kind of cool. And they said all the major tax prep software companies are going to be able to implement this software. So they'll be able to upload what the IRS has, and you'll be able to do that as soon as today.
It probably won't be many years down the road, Andrew, and you'll still be doing taxes, life and taxes, that they'll do away with paper returns until that generation dies off that, like me, that still do paper returns. It'll all be electronic.
It is interesting because I was reading, in preparation for the show, I was reading a lot of articles, and one of the ones talked about a tax court case, and it was an individual that filed an amended return. So here we are.
Yeah.
You've got to file it paper. Can't e-file it. They send in the amended return, and it was reflecting a substantial refund because there was a they tried to do it on their own. They went and got tax advice.
Yeah.
The tax advice was you are due a significant refund because you didn't report this transaction properly.
Mm-hmm.
So they, of course, amend that return. They send in the paper return. Guess what they didn't do, Mike?
Didn't attach their W-2s to it.
They didn't sign it.
Oh.
They did not sign the amended return. So IRS gets it. They then have to, and, you know, the process is that for the amended return, the IRS, you know, didn't process it because it wasn't a signed return.
Yeah.
So then they had to sue in federal court.
Really?
For a refund. Yeah, say, we're due this refund. You know, we filed this return. We're due a refund. You didn't process the return. You can give us the refund. And they go to federal court over it. And guess what the federal court judge says?
Sign the return.
Too bad, so sad.
No,
really? Too bad, so sad. You know, and they were outside the statute of limitations. We talk about the statute of limitations for claiming a refund is 3 years.
Yeah.
So if you fail to file your amended return or make your claim for refund within 3 years of the due date of the return, then, you know, you're out of luck. And so they couldn't, it wasn't like they could just go in there and sign the return.
Yeah, you would think they could. I mean, hey, I'm sorry, I forgot, you know, because we've been giving props to the IRS for the last couple months on this show here. Now all of a sudden you throw that nugget out there. It's like, now they're back to their old ways again, you know?
That was
forgot to sign it.
That was the decision. And one of the big things they said is the judge in the case, he said, you know, you sign your return under the penalties of perjury.
Sure.
Meaning that you're certifying that return is accurate.
Mm-hmm.
And by not signing it, you haven't made that, you know, assertion.
Wow.
You haven't made that declaration.
Yeah.
And so therefore, and it talks about, I mean, the code talks about what a filed return is. You know, it's duly signed. I mean, everything, all the language is in there. And, you know, those are elements.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we talk about factors, we talk about elements. Elements mean you got to meet every single one, or guess what?
Sorry,
it's nothing. It's a nullity.
Yeah,
and that's what happened in this particular case. Is that that individual failed to sign the return, the amended return, outside the refund statute of limitations, the 3-year window, spends a bunch of money going to federal court because guess what? It was a substantial refund that they were due.
Must be, yeah.
And come up completely empty. Because guess what? You got to stand by your original return.
Speaking of returns, Andrew, and this is kind of, well, it's not off topic, but you're here. How long should people keep their tax records before they throw them out or shred them, dispose of them properly?
Good question. So, you know, the time frame for keeping records, the minimum time frame is 3 years. And the reason for that is because absent any other circumstances, that's the audit window for the IRS. The general standard IRS audit window is 3 years. The better practice is 6 years because if you did make a substantial understatement of income or you had some other issues relative to your return, the statute of limitations for them to audit your return can increase from 3 to 6 years if you made those types of mistakes or errors. Now, if you committed fraud, we brought this up before, if you did commit fraud on your return, there is no statute of limitations for collection. But, you know, in general, our taxpayers who are just filing their returns, trying to do the best they can, not taking some crazy positions on their returns, you know, you're looking at 3 to 6 years is how long you need to hold on to that. You know, we talk a lot with executors and at Harbell and Collins, you know, we're dealing with individuals who are, hey, did your mom or dad file their tax return for last year? You know, and that's one of the big things is going in and finding those documents. And if they don't have them, getting the tax transcripts to show that the return was filed, because one of the responsibilities of an executor or administrator of an estate is making sure that the decedent filed their last 3 years of tax returns if they were required to do so. So, you know, we're really big on making sure we get those tax records, making sure we get those filings made. If we don't know for sure, get those tax transcripts and verify whether or not filings have occurred. And, you know, it's just a good idea. And it's always great when you have, you know, people that were responsible and had the information readily available and we can verify and check and then use those returns to prepare the final tax return for the decedent. So, you know, it's always good to, we enjoy those clients and taxpayers that keep their records.
Well, it
makes things a little bit easier.
It's easier said than done. But, you know, I think that's what this sheltering in place and the COVID for the last several months has allowed people to do is kind of get some of their household in order. And I did that over the last like 3 or 4 weeks. I went through my office at home and found.
And one of the big things I would tell individuals to do, you know, because my wife and I have a box at home that we keep all of our important papers.
Yeah.
And unfortunately, that's kind of just run out of room at this point in time.
Yeah.
You know, and I told her, I said, I'm just going to take our return and I'm going to scan it in the computer and save it as a file. And that's big because then all of a sudden you can get rid of the paper return at that point in time and know that you've got it in a safe, secure place. You know, make sure that you have it somewhere where you know, if your hard drive crashes, I mean, I've got it on our server, you know, at the office, to make sure that we can access it and if we need to do so. So, you know, there's a good tip there, which is if you want to limit your paper,
yeah,
get it scanned in, get it saved on your computer and make sure you can produce it in the event that, you know, you do get that letter from the IRS saying, well, let's take a look at your return and we need to substantiate those records to back up your deduction.
Is there any amount that the IRS look, I'm talking about adjusted gross income and your taxable amount that they look at as far as audit? I mean, if someone is reporting like $32,000, boom, is that going to something that's going to get into the crosshairs of an IRS audit, or is they looking at big numbers?
No, it all depends on how they got there. I mean, really, I would tell you that, you know, if you had $32,000 of income, but you had, I mean, of adjusted gross income, yeah, and you had a large gross income and it was, you know, adjusted down through deductions.
Gotcha. Okay.
You're looking at a lot more waving the red flag. So yeah, it just all depends on what your circumstances are. But certainly I would say the more deductions you take, business, yeah, you know, especially, those are when you're probably going to see an audit at some point.
If it looks weird, it probably is weird.
Yeah.
So just,
I mean, they're at least going to check in on you.
If you play by the rules, you're probably going to be okay. As Andrew Foster, we always do here at Coastal Daybreak and at Harvell and Collins. If you have questions and you want to try to reach Andrew after the show or at that point right now, call 252-726-9050. Go online to harvellandcollins.com. Life and taxes, we talk about it each Thursday, and we'll do it again next Thursday. Thanks, Andrew.